In the last days of the campaign, I began thinking about a hymn that means a lot to me and my family, particularly my deceased son, Beau. It captures the faith that sustains me and which I believe sustains America. And I hope it can provide some comfort and solace to the 230,000 Americans who've lost a loved one to this terrible virus this year. My heart goes out to each and every one of you. Hopefully this hymn gives you solace as well. And it goes like this. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, and make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand. And now together, on eagle's wings, we embark on the work that God and history have called upon us to do. With full hearts and steady hands, with faith in America and in each other, with love of country, a thirst for justice, let us be the nation that we know we can be, a nation united, a nation strengthened, a nation healed. The United States of America, ladies and gentlemen, there's never been anything we've tried we've not been able to do. So remember, as my grandpa, our grandpa, he said when I walked out of his home when I was a kid up in Scranton, he said, "Joey, keep the faith." And our grandmother, when she was alive, she yelled, "No, Joey, spread it. Spread the faith. God love you all. May God bless America, and may God protect our troops." Thank you.
Welcome to the Outlet at Home. It's our virtual town hall experience. I'm Vince Thomas Lee, pastor of the Outlet community, and I am excited to come wherever you are in the world today. I want to let you know we're going to have a special time of getting into the Word, understanding what's going on in our current events, as well as at the very end, we'll have a time of communion, a time where we're reminded of who God is in our life, as well as I'm going to open the floor to allow you all to ask questions and answers. So welcome to every person, whether you're watching on Facebook, whether you're on YouTube, you're in our online campus, or as you see right here on the screen, you are on Zoom. And so some information is coming up on screen. If you want to hop on Zoom, it'll give you a direct access to maybe even hop on camera to ask questions. But I want to hear from you. There's so many things that are going on in our world. And personally, I believe it's the church's responsibility to not muddy the waters, but help to provide clarity as to how we are to live in these times. And so if you would, go with me in your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'm going to give you the title of today's message, and it's simply Changing of the Guard. And I was sharing with my wife initially, our executive director, Diana, just kind of when the word of the Lord came to me on Wednesday, October 7th, I heard the Lord say, "Vince, I want you to prepare the church for a changing of the guard." And I was honest with them because I didn't know if that automatically meant that President-elect Biden would be in office, or if that meant that the former president, Donald J. Trump, was going to continue another 4 years. I didn't know any of that. I just knew specifically what the Lord said. And I believe that that is a lesson in how to hear from God and not add your own lens, not add your own culture to what God is saying. And as the Lord began to show me specifically what he wanted his people to understand, I then said we need to call a family meeting, a town hall. We need to have a time for discussion because we as the church as a whole haven't really done a great job over the past few years of making sure that we're presenting Jesus instead of our own personal ideology. And so instead of this being a Republican conversation, instead of this being a Democratic conversation, instead of this even being an independent, libertarian, Green Party conversation, this is going to be a kingdom conversation. And I want you to see specifically what God is asking us in 1 Peter chapter 5, 6, and 7. And I'll go on further to explain this. And it says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation, it says, "So humble yourself under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Here's the key we're going to look at today. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. Can you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you. We just are grateful for the privilege of being able to connect through all the ways of technology that are available to us. Help provide clarity. Help to illuminate our minds, illuminate our ways. Father, in this season, in this time, as we're coming out of a presidential election, I'm first and foremost, Father, asking that as the body of Christ, we return to our place. You said in your word in John chapter 13, that this is how people will know that we are your disciples, in how we love one another. But in the midst of loving others, Father, there are concerns, there are needs, there are questions we have. So, Lord, we look to you for guidance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before I go further in Scripture, I kind of want to provide clarity to some things that we're seeing play out in current events and in the news and in our world. So one of the common themes that I'm hearing from people is, how in the world is our country so divided? Or for some people who voted for the Democratic nominee, how could people vote for the Republican nominee? For those who voted for the Republican nominee, they're saying, how in the world can people vote for a completely different agenda than the one we're voting for? And before I get too far into just some of the things that I've noticed, I really want to talk to the church for a second. I really want this to be an honest dialogue, because God didn't call us to be a part of one party or another. God called us to be ambassadors in his kingdom and being a part of his mission. And his mission does not 100% align to one particular political agenda or the other. And so I want to talk to those who made it out to be that if you're voting for, and I'm going to be specific, the Republican Party, then you're voting for God's candidate. You are absolutely wrong. And the way that this campaign was driven spiritually has kept people in bondage from being able to hear from God for themselves as to how they're to vote that aligns to their values. Now, I understand when certain individuals were saying, vote for your values, and if you're a Christian, you know what that means. The lie that they were trying to perpetuate is that a vote for the Democratic Party was a vote for same-sex marriage and abortion. And that honestly is something that would scare anyone. Anyone trying to live for God is not going to willingly and knowingly do something that puts them at odds according to the scripture that they know. And so that level of fear, that tactic of trying to intimidate people to vote one way or another, that's not of God. And using your spiritual voice and saying, I hear what the Spirit says, doesn't make you any more right than a clock that has no battery in it. Even a clock with no battery can be right two times a day. Listen. This election was not about either you're for same-sex marriage and abortion or you're not. So let's not make this something that it was not intended to be. In fact, as I was looking at the exit polls from NPR, CNN, and the New York Times, one thing that was noticed out of 150,000 individuals, and of course, when you're talking about 150,000 people to the entire populace of the United States, this is a very small number. But this kind of gives you an insight into what were the primary factors. Well, I want everyone to understand this. Republican candidates those who voted for the Republican candidate, being those who voted for Donald Trump, said in an overwhelming majority, they were not voting for the person, they were voting for his policies. Hear me. The Republican Party, those who voted for the Republican candidate, an overwhelming majority said, I'm not voting for the president. I'm voting for what the president represents. Fair enough. On the Democratic side of the ticket for Biden-Harris, and an overwhelming majority, the Democratic Party said two things. Number one, they said, I'm not voting for the particular ticket that we have. I'm voting for what the ticket represents, number one. Number two, the findings showed that in a 64% margin, people who voted for the Democratic ticket had an extra fervor, not for Biden-Harris, but to get rid of the Trump rhetoric out of the highest office of the land. And let me drill down a little further to kind of help paint this picture for you. So remember when I was telling you that there was a Christian tension saying that if you vote Republican, you're voting to uphold marriage and you're voting to make sure that abortion does not get into the laws of the land. Remember I said that? Well, in an exit poll for those who voted for the Republican candidate, they said their most important issue, the issue that they said we want to focus on for the next 4 years, the issue that's most pertinent, the Republicans did not say to make sure there wasn't same-sex marriage or that there wasn't abortion. They did not say that. In fact, they said their top priority was the economy. On the flip side, so if the argument from the church was true, then that would mean that those who voted for the Biden-Harris ticket, their first agenda item would have been to make sure that we have same-sex marriage in act, and we also had abortion or pro-choice legal in all 50 states. The Democratic ticket, those who voted according to the Democratic ticket, did not say that as well. In fact, the number one issue that they said they believe that the Democratic ticket would uphold is number one, the issue of social justice, and actually 1B was coronavirus response. So I gave you a lot of stats, I gave you a lot of statistics. So what is that saying? And I want us, and I want to encourage you to look at what you see in the news, not from a cultural lens, but again, from a kingdom lens. So you had, as the time of this live broadcast, over 75 million people voted for the Biden-Harris ticket. Over 70 million people voted for the Trump-Pence ticket. For those who look at the Trump-Pence ticket and say, I can't believe that there are 70 million racists in the world, you have to understand this and deal with the prejudgment or the prejudice that's within each of us. Just because someone voted for Trump doesn't make them a racist, just as much as someone who voted Democrat doesn't make them an extreme liberalist who hates America. People have reasons for their vote and how they vote. But the important thing that we have to look at with such a divide down the middle is not that our country is divided, but it's that our country is balanced. And if we choose to listen to cultural rhetoric, we're going to find that we're going to be angry at the world that we're in. We're going to find that when we see someone who voted different from us, we're going to disavow them or unfriend them or say things to take shots at them. And that is not how the kingdom operates. In fact, if we look at it from a lens that I believe that God is calling us to look at it, is that we need both parties at the table so that we can work together. That's why you want someone who is in a seat of authority, and especially the highest seat in the land, to be somebody who is willing to bring both sides to the table so that we can compromise. I've had it with the evangelical rhetoric, and evangelicals are not just whites because there's some blacks too. The evangelical rhetoric that believes just because I pray, I get my way. Listen, even in our own prayer time, we can pray one way right now, but we don't have the full counsel and wisdom of God and realize we need to update our prayers. So this idea that the church is going to legislate morality when they're not even focusing on discipleship at their own home. They're pushing off the responsibility that if the church would just walk in love where it was at, that if the church would just be able to let people know the love of God rather than what they're up against, if the church would just listen to what society is saying, then we would see And what God is trying to do during this time is going to take a new brand and a new style of leadership to accomplish. Let's face it, if we're looking at our country, during the Trump-Pence administration, they were able to make sure that the Supreme Court had conservative individuals on the courts for many years to come. In fact, President Trump nominated federal judges throughout this land to make sure that there would be a conservative tilt to our election cycle. There's a slight lead in the House for the Democratic Party, and the Senate party, the Senate is yet to be decided. We, in the next few months, are going to have the greatest opportunity in any of our lifetimes to sit down with people who think differently than us and have conversations and get to work. I understand that there were celebrations and that there was jubilation. There was singing in the streets once the projections were called. And I was talking with, Jersey Janine, but Janine Wilson, who she and her husband serves as our life group directors, and it's her birthday today, so I was wishing her happy birthday this morning. And she said, listen, we all get 20 minutes to be real, but we have the next 4 years to be fair. We get to celebrate for those who are excited about the results of the election for a brief moment. But come the next 24 hours, we've got to get to work. The reality that the issues that people voted for were real issues. We need a strong, a thriving economy. We need to, on the Democratic side, make sure that we're making inroads to social justice and racial inequalities. We need to make sure that we have a robust and comprehensive approach and response to the coronavirus epidemic. But we cannot do that if we bring old skill sets and old weapons to a new fight. And that's where I believe the Lord is saying there is now a changing of the guard. By the Spirit of God, there are young leaders who it is now your time to embrace what God has called you to do. There are those who are older and who have been around the things of God for a while. It is now your season to take a young person under your wing and begin to show them the ropes and have honest, truthful conversations and help to lift lids and open doors that they couldn't do on their own. We all have a part to play because the seasons are changing, and I am declaring that the Outlet community will be on the forefront of what God is asking us to do in our community. And I believe that if I have a group of people, a community who is willing to be a part of that charge, to be a part of that mission, in the comments, let me know now. But I want us now, as I've talked politics for a moment, to take a look back at 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And when I talk about changing of the guard, the term changing of the guard comes from the ceremony over in England where the Queen's Guard hands over responsibility for protecting the Buckingham Palace and the St. James Palace to the new guard. What God is saying today is, instead of us taking our world, our life, what's going on into our own hands and trying to fix it on our own, we need to change the guard from ourself who's guarding us to God who's guarding us. The word casting means to make responsible for or put responsibility on. It means the ability to switch from worry to trust. So when God is asking us to humble ourselves, let's not think that we know more than God. Let's not think we know more than his divine plan for our life. And let's commit to holding God responsible for bringing the outcomes. And when we hold God responsible, he then holds us responsible to obey what he's asking us to do. So if you had to summarize this message, changing of the guard, into just one phrase, it's simply this. When I'm casting my care, I'm trusting and I'm resting. But when I'm worried, when I'm overwhelmed, I'm holding my care and I'm in pride. Hear me. This is the message for today. We have to practice casting or saying, God, I lay this situation before you. Give me your wisdom and I will operate according to your word. We have to make sure that When we pray, we're not also trying to control the outcome. We have to let go of the outcomes. My wife so eloquently put one time that when it comes to prayer, we can have the expectation, but we have to trust God to give the interpretation of what we're praying for. We might be going into times of prayer and saying, God, this is what I expect, this is what I need, but we have to trust him with how the answer looks. Now, what I want to do right now is, again, if you're here, as we get ready to begin answering questions, I want to get to a point where we receive Holy Communion. So if you have questions for me today, you can text the number 770-667-4899, 770-667-4899, or you can come on to our Zoom room if you want to come on screen and ask questions. You can do that as well. But what I want us to do right now is to just prepare our hearts for Holy Communion. I want to make sure that we actually practice casting our care on the Lord.